Travis Ryer, welcome into the game in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well.
Great. How are you, Ryan?
It's a big win. Big win for the Tide.
Yes, it was. Incredibly big. And what an electric environment inside Bryant-Denny Stadium on Saturday. And we had some very appropriate football weather, so couldn't really ask for much more if you're an Alabama fan.
You think that's the best two teams in college football?
Gosh, you know, it would be hard to argue otherwise. The thing that's so difficult, Ryan, is trying to simulate or project how teams like Oregon, would fare, really, against teams like Alabama. Because, you know, Alabama and Mississippi State get into this kind of slugfest, and, you know, it's a physical, grinding type of game, although both teams ended up probably having to throw it more than they wanted to. But it just, until you see an Oregon that doesn't see anything like an Alabama or even a Mississippi State or even an Ole Miss to some extent, in an actual matchup, you just don't know. Because, you know, I keep going back to, we keep hearing about this Oregon offense, and I keep going back to the 2011 national championship game when, you know, that Oregon offense was being talked about the same way this one is. And what did it do against one of the worst defenses to ever play in a national championship game? It didn't do much. So, I would probably say yes, that the long way around to answer your question is that I would like Alabama or Mississippi State right now against an Oregon or against a Florida State for sure. Florida State keeps getting behind 14, 21 points to these mediocre opponents and then, you know, gets interested and comes back. And I'm telling you, even against an Oregon, if they were to do that, I think they'd get boat raced.
Right now we're talking with Travis Ryer inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. Going back to Oregon for a couple of minutes, and offensively, you know, maybe they don't have as many questions, but defensively, could they stop either Mississippi State or Alabama on just one drive? Not all game, just one drive.
That's the other side of it, too. And I feel that way almost about Florida State, the only question I have with Alabama right now is this isn't the dominant run game. And, you know, whether you choose to believe that's more so a commitment issue, which the last two games, and specifically the LSU game, I think you could say that. I thought they were pretty balanced, at least in their attempt against Mississippi State. I just thought Mississippi State's front seven was legit. I thought against LSU it was more of a commitment deal than anything. But that's the kind of, you know, there's been some previous Alabama offenses that I prayed would get a shot at Oregon, because I just knew what would happen if that 2011-2012 offensive line and running game had gone up against an Oregon team, what would have happened. It's amazing to watch this offense, Ryan, because they have not eased Blake Sims into this thing at all. I did a little research this evening, and, you know, he has 276 pass attempts, Ryan, through 10 games. You know how many A.J. McCarron had the last year at the same point?
I don't think it's close.
Close, but it's less. I mean, it's 261. So, you know, and when you look at their numbers through 10 games, McCarron a better completion percentage, around 68% through 10 games. I think Sims around 61-62%. But Sims has the edge both in yards, by a couple hundred yards. It's close. McCarron had three more touchdowns at this point a year ago throwing the football. But if you talk about total touchdowns accounted for, probably Sims would be a little bit ahead there. And Sims has fewer interceptions and more pass attempts than McCarron had last year at this point. So that's been the amazing thing to me, is that there have been plenty of years where I thought, or at least some years where I thought, Alabama was so good up front and with the running game that you or I could probably quarterback UA to 10 wins. This isn't one of those years. They've had to get legitimate play from the quarterback position, and Sims has given them that, and frankly, I never would have expected him to be able to deliver to the extent that he's been asked to deliver and has needed to deliver for this team to be in this position.
I go back to Ole Miss. If I hooked you up on a polygraph machine, I think I remember your answer, but if I hooked you up on a polygraph machine on that Monday when you and I talk here each and every Monday, Travis Ryer inside the game here from Bama Online, if I would have hooked you up on a polygraph and I would have said, Travis Ryer, can this team win a national title, what would you have said?
Gosh, I don't even remember if we had that conversation. You know, I'm getting
well. Even getting after older. West Virginia, I mean, it just
well after West Virginia, I would have had my doubts, and that's largely because I wasn't quite sure how good West Virginia really was, and I'm still not totally sure because we've seen them kind of go up and down this season now, and they appear to be a little bit on the downward slide. But you know, I still felt like there was a chance. But you know, coming out of Ole Miss with Kenyon Drake in the injury. Denzel Duvall was injured in that game. Ryan Kelly goes out in that game. Morale in general, forget about in terms of what we do or fans or anything else, couldn't have been very high for this team. So, you know, I felt to a lesser extent that this team could win a national championship the next Monday, probably, after the Arkansas game. Than I did even after Ole Miss. I felt like Ole Miss was legit after that game. You know, Arkansas, I thought had improved, but Alabama really struggled in that game, and I know Arkansas has improved. But Saban, I think, was absolutely correct. That game meant a lot more to this team's psyche than I think any of us could have imagined.
You know, I tried to make a little bit of a statement early in the 6 o'clock hour. I said, forget about trying to get two SEC teams in this college football playoffs. To me, if you're an Alabama guy, you don't want two SEC teams. Let everybody else get in. I mean, sure. I mean, you want to go win the thing.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, I don't want to play Mississippi State again. I don't think anybody else does either.
No, and it's, you're kind of in LSU's position in 2011, aren't you? I think LSU said all the right things that year, but you know they wanted pretty much anyone but, you know. You think LSU wouldn't have liked to play Oklahoma State, New Orleans, instead of Alabama? Come on. Of course they would have. But, what would be interesting is, you know, do you see that SEC team in the semi or the final if there's two? And, you know, I think if Mississippi State wins out and Alabama wins out, I think there's a chance, if not a very good chance, that you could see an Alabama State semifinal, you know, and because I think the seeding would probably do that. I think the committee would rather see that game in a semifinal than take the chance of it being a championship game. I know it's supposed to be the best four teams in terms of how they stack up, and I think a one-loss state team could certainly make an argument for a top three seed. But if it came down to it and it worked out where two teams could get in, I would think that we would see the SEC teams probably play in the semi.
Travis Ryer right now inside the game here from BamaOnline.com as he joins us here each and every Monday to talk Alabama football. Let me get into the conversation of where this team needs to improve the most. Offensively, didn't have the best second half, but when it all counted, 15 plays, 76 yards, 6 minutes, 9 seconds off the clock. That's the drive that Nick Saban said, one of the greatest in Alabama history. But offensively, still probably not where Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin would like to be in the second half.
Well, it's not consistent. And not so much that the points aren't coming. It's just that the methodical approach that we've seen from Alabama's offense throughout the years has been missing from this team. I mean, for the second straight game, Alabama's outrushed. You know, I don't think that's happened since 2010, at least in my research it hasn't. And to their credit, Alabama has survived those two games, whereas in 2010 they weren't able to survive South Carolina on the road. So there is something to be said for this team's championship makeup, I guess you could call it, because when it has looked as if they are out of gas in the second half of the last two games on the offensive side of the ball, they have figured out a way to come up with huge scoring drives, and the central figure in both of those has been Blake Sims and he's done it largely without Amari Cooper in the fourth quarter of the last two games. Amari, I think, has one catch for 4, 5, 6 yards in the last two fourth quarters. And Alabama in both of those games put together season-defining drives. Okay, the two most important drives of the season right now were probably those two. I think you have to say it. I mean, and in those two drives, their best player was literally a non-factor. So it tells you a lot about this team as a whole and this offense as a whole.
You know, Travis, I just went back and I crunched the, you know, just really quickly looked at the numbers. You were talking about numbers a couple of minutes ago, and you and I have spoke about this on multiple occasions. The balanced offensive attack, 1979 rushing, 2742 overall passing. It's been a long time since it's been that way as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is an offense I think that we've seen in the past. I want to say hit 3,000 yards maybe rushing, or 2,500 has usually been kind of, you know, 200 yards a game, something like that. And they're really going to struggle to get to that number, I think, here down the stretch. It'll help this week, don't get me wrong. They should be able to run a good bit against Western Carolina. But it is. It's been a different offense than I think any of us really anticipated, first and foremost, because of the guy who is starting at quarterback. But also in that, they really didn't, again, you know, protect. They haven't protected him. I mean, they haven't said, okay, well, you know, we think you've got some weaknesses throwing the football, so we're going to become more of this. They've stuck with what they want to be offensively, and that's very much pro in approach and pro style offense. And Sims has responded remarkably well, and I know Saban talked about it today. You know, his scrambling and how they want him to stay in the pocket more. Well, if anything, he stayed in the pocket a lot more than I ever anticipated he would this year. And he's really saved the scrambles and the runs and improvisation until winning time. And then he's just been devastatingly effective on third down in those situations.
All right, Travis, this is not Alabama football, but let's step away from Alabama football. We'll stay in the Southeastern Conference. Will Muschamp today stepping down or being fired or whatever word you want to use to decorate the let go. Who replaces him?
Gosh, that's a great question. You know, and talking with some people today, I know that, you know, they're going to do their usual drive-by Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. And I really think this would be a great time for Stoops to make a move. You know, the Bama bounce that they were supposed to get from that Sugar Bowl win never happened, and it just has the feel of a guy that probably needs to make a change. But I guess from what you hear, he's probably, if he's going to do that, it'll be more towards the NFL instead of college. So from there, names I've heard a little bit, Hugh Freeze of Ole Miss, Todd Grantham of Arizona State, you know, so I think those are a couple you'll hear. But you know, Jeremy Foley in the past has been hard to kind of figure when it comes to coach searches, and he's taken a couple of shots, you know, in the dark a little bit with Ron Zook, and then even the Muschamp hire, while considered a solid hire at the time, was a bit of a surprise given his situation at Texas. But, you know, I've said if a guy like David Cutcliffe was interested, I might check with him. This is a guy with SEC experience. Kurt Roper, the offensive coordinator at Florida, obviously has worked under Cutcliffe in the past. You know, I just don't see the slam dunk hire out there for them. I know Jim McElwain's been mentioned a little bit, but apparently his buyout is astronomical to get out of his deal at CSU. So, but those are a few of the names I've heard. And again, with Foley, it hasn't always been very predictable in which way they've gone.